Small Supports in Time of Crisis is a podcast series made using extracts from a live webinar which was recorded in July 2020 and hosted by Bill Love from NDTI, in conversation with Small Supports providers Doreen Kelly from Beyond Limits, Sam Smith from Sea Change, and Dave Barris from Positive Support for You. For some people using social care support, the pandemic has meant a loss or threatened loss of rights, well-being, and safety. But it doesn't have to be this way. This series explores how individually designed and led community-based supports have worked to protect both people's health and human rights.
Reflecting on what we've just been through, and we're mindful that we're now working with people who are looking to commission small supports and set up small supports. Are there any kind of particular bits of advice that you would give to people setting up small supports organisations or seeking to commission organisations, learning from the last few months? And shall I start with you, Sam?
Well, with a commissioning head on, you always want to look at cost. Well, I would look at the true cost of what has been commissioned before. The human cost, the cost that doesn't show up on the balance sheet, and actually the cost that is budgeted for in terms of the resources that have been required to continue to support people. So if you commission things where the state has to take a really active role in the event of a crisis, you have to add those costs in. And what you've heard described by Doreen and Dave, and I hope by myself, is what you commissioned had the flexibility in it that we were able to continue to support people with very little of additional support, other than things like PPE, but very little kind of requirement to be directed around people, because people self-directed, they worked out. So I think if you are looking at it from a cost or even a nuisance value, you don't want, as a commissioner or a senior social worker or a social worker, to have things blown up on a Friday afternoon. Small supports provide the solutions to the issues that you face, because they start with the person and work from there. So it makes sense financially and in terms of lives.
Thank you.
I sound like I'm advertising.
No, it's what we all are a little bit, aren't we? Because we know that we need more support that work in this particular way. And you're talking about the fact we've kept people safer.
The main thing that makes or breaks whether a small sports provider can work is whether there's leadership and support for a common purpose that's explicit. So whether that's written in a contract, that's always important, but contracts are there for when things go wrong, you know, when relationships break down. So they are important. But I am minded that Doreen worked with partners and Sea Change worked in Glasgow, within the same framework of contract as any other provider. But we internally, at the time, until legislation caught up with us in Scotland in terms of Self-Directed Support Act, but we internally, and with the full knowledge and blessing of our commissioners, regarded every pound of money that was given to a person for their support as that person's money. So all of our internal mechanisms worked to that. There was nothing in the contract about an individual service fund. That's how we took the same amount of money that would have been given to any other provider. And you know, that's how we used it internally. That's how we reported on it. And that's how we were able to say this person now has more money than they need. More support than you need is as bad as not enough. So actually there's some money that could go back. And in those instances, what we were able to do, it was called the review and reinvestment process, was there'd be somebody else who was requiring support, but they might not have quite enough money in that person's budget. So the money that was then given back out of an individual support would go towards that other person's support. So it was a way of just making it make sense. Contracts are really important, but more than that, it's vision and leadership.
Dave, your thoughts on anyone setting up or commissioning?
this is close to my heart, but as you're aware, I'm doing some work with colleagues in Yorkshire at the moment around this, and we've been 2 years working with a large city council there. The risk of us having to fit into the usual world of procurement is that you won't get us, because it's just too much faff for us to want to. Why would I join a great big contract or tender for something most of which I don't want to do, you know? And there are real issues around that as a fundamental thing. So there needs to be some design and some thinking in terms of attracting organisations like us to and a partnership approach to some degree in terms of how we work together to set the music to enable us to do the things that we're able to do, rather than one size fits all, you know, tender lots, this, that and the other. And so when they immediately start doing that, we start treating people as a group of people. And the risk is we're not looking at individuals in that as well. So I think it's really about the work we're doing with that local authority is about giving them an opportunity for small organisations to either start up or you know, or develop themselves, or existing organisations to pick up that mantle. And I think that's got to be built in from the outset.
Doreen, any thoughts from you on for organisations set up or establishing?
Yeah, I had a couple of things. So the advice would be for that commissioner or that person making the decision about where somebody lives and what their future is going to look like, to start with what you think small support is, and to start with what you think is person-centred, or what other people are telling you is person-centred, and then deepen it by about another 400%, 500%, 600%. So that's the first thing I'd say. The second thing I'd say is, think about the person or the people that you love most in your life. And then each and every service that you design, think about, would it be good enough for you or that person that you cherish? Because the people we support, somebody cherishes them, lots of people cherish them. And the only other thing I would ask us to reflect on is, you know what, we have a short time in this life, and we actually only have a short time to make a difference. And making a difference, surely to goodness, that's what our purpose is.
Thank you for listening. For more information about NDTI's Small Supports Programme, follow the link in the podcast description or visit ndti.org.uk.